Delight to have the littles here with us these few weeks. Thank you, Amanda, for playing the piano for us. And we're going to invite Greg just now to come, read scripture, and preach the word. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Amen. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It's certainly good to be with you again, although we are trying to adjust to things that we have not seen in quite a while. I was telling some this morning that we drove yesterday to Ajax and back, and that was the first time I have driven in snow in a long period of time. So that was fun. The kids are adjusting. They're enjoying the snow. Another thing that we're adjusting to is it's a lot drier here than it is in St. Lucia. Everything is very damp and humid in St. Lucia, so it's given me a bit of a cough. So if you hear me cough, it's not COVID. It's just the dry weather. And we've also learned that we can electrocute each other. I haven't taught the boys how to do that yet, but they'll figure it out soon, and they'll walk around scraping their feet and touching each other. So we're getting those little shocks all the time. They're like, what is that? But we never had that in St. Lucia. It's too humid. But we're enjoying it here and thankful to be back for a little while here with you. And thankful to Pastor Redding for the opportunity to preach. I said last week it was a little weird sitting down and being preached at. That hasn't happened in a while. But I enjoyed it. And preachers need to get preached at sometimes too. And so I definitely enjoyed that. But if you're in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 and down to verse number 14. And I will try to read a little slower than I normally do so that the signing can be done appropriately. So I'll do that this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes this: "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." I want you to notice here in verse number 8, we're going to focus in here down to verse number 14. Paul says this: "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." How many of you remember flying? How many of you have flown recently? Has anyone flown recently? Okay. How many of you have flown after 2001? You might have to remember all the way back there. And now how many of you have flown before 2001 and after 2001? And I'm sure you notice that things are very different since 2001. Do you remember what happened on 2001, September 11th? The attacks on the tower in New York and a few other places. And I never flew before 2001, but they have told me that since 9/11, air travel has completely changed. And I know what it's like to fly now. It's very different than what it used to be. Flying is much higher security than it ever has been before. In fact, it's very high security now to go flying. It's like anytime you fly, there's a whole set of rules and things that you have to go through in order to be able to board the plane. Just to get to the gate, to get on the plane, there are all sorts of security checkpoints that you have to pass to verify, I guess, that it's you. It's really you. And you don't throw pose any threat to the plane or to the airline or those aboard. And, you know, I guess even now with COVID, it's even more difficult to fly. There's so much more and so many more layers now on top of that flying. And part of that process, what makes it so difficult, is going through security. Now, those of you that have flown know exactly what I mean when I say going through security. Nobody just goes through security. It's a big ordeal to go through security, especially, you know, we flew not that long ago, and we flew with, how many bags do we have? Five bags, big bags, five little bags, a cat, a dog, all the kids' book bags, backpacks, and four kids. We can't forget about them. And it was quite a process, let me tell you, going through security. Because once you get to security, all the bags have to go up on that conveyor belt. All the electronics have to come out of the bags. The cat had to go one way. The dog had to go another way. The kids had to go this way. You know, they tell you, take your belt off, take your shoes off, stand on one foot, hop around a little bit, all those things that they tell you to do when you're going through security. And then finally you get through security and you go through that little doorway that tells you, and every single time I go through that doorway, it beeps and they say, do you have something in your pocket? And I've missed something, so I have to go back again, take it out, go through again. And then when you've gone through that, you have to go through the other security checkpoint. You know, the one where you stand like this and the thing goes around you, and everything is open. They can see anything. They know if you're trying to hide something, whatever it is, it's all there for them. All your bags go through the security scanner, the x-ray machine. You get to the other side, and they have to open it up and look through, and, you know, you've forgotten a bottle or a pair of scissors or something. I don't know, and they have to come out, and they have to go in the garbage. And the truth is, I say all that to say this, I go through that whole ordeal, that whole routine, and I come out on the other end just a mess. I'm sweating, I'm nervous, and I haven't even done anything wrong. I'm like, what if they find a gun in my bag? I don't know. I didn't put it there, but you never know. And it's such a big process. And I can't imagine how somebody would feel if they had something to hide going through that process. In fact, they tell me that even on security cameras, they look for people who are sweating more than they normally would or look really nervous. And those are the people that they stop and they check. Maybe that's why they check me every time. I don't know, because I'm always nervous going through. But here's the thing. I don't have to be nervous. I have no reason to be nervous or uncomfortable. Why? Because I have absolutely nothing to hide. They can search my bags. They can search me. They can look wherever they want, and I know that they will find nothing because I have nothing to hide. I can confidently put my bags through the x-ray machine. They can search whatever they want, because in the end, when everything is open and revealed to the light, there's absolutely nothing to hide. There's nothing I should be embarrassed or ashamed about. Paul in Ephesians 5, and in fact, the latter half of the book of Ephesians is dealing with our walk. How we ought to walk as believers. The first few chapters of the book of Ephesians, Paul deals with the theology of who we are in Jesus Christ. Who we are and what we have. Really what Paul's been saying all along is you are rich in Christ. This is everything that you have in Christ. And then in the latter half of the book, Paul says, therefore, walk like that is true. Live like it is true. Walk as believers. He starts in verse number 1 and 2. He tells us to walk in love. He tells us later on, we didn't read it, but he tells us to walk circumspectly. And here in these verses that we read in verse number 8 through 14, he is telling us to walk in light. Walk as children of light. Now we'll look at this more as we go through this morning, this passage. But let me say this, as we begin to walk as children of light, means simply to live openly before the eyes of God, not hiding anything. That's what it means. To not worry about those things that are done in secret being revealed, because I have nothing to hide. You know, it's relatively easy to hide things from other people, isn't it? Because they can't see our hearts, and they can't see what's inside, they can't see our minds. But the Bible says all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, God sees. God knows. It is all open. If God peeled back the curtains of our life, if he focused his light on the things that we think are done in secret, if we had to take the bags of our life and put them through his x-ray machine, so to speak, to reveal what's on the inside, if he could reveal the things that are hidden, not just the outside, but what is hidden in the heart. If God could reveal that for everybody to see, would we be embarrassed? Would we be ashamed? Or would we say, I have nothing to hide? It's all there. An author asked Charles Spurgeon for permission to write his life story. He responded, he said, "You may write my life in the skies. I have nothing to hide. Write it all." That's what it means to walk as children of light. Three things I want to look at this morning. First of all, I want you to notice the command in verse number 8. The command. Paul says, walk as children of light. He says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Paul here is contrasting what every believer's life was like before salvation to what every believer's life ought to look like after salvation. And really, that's what the Apostle Paul has been saying all along in this book, that the believer's life ought to be different after salvation than it was before salvation. There ought to be a marked difference in our life. And Paul here uses the illustration of light and darkness. See, darkness and light are complete opposites, right? You can't have a little bit of darkness with a little bit of light. You either have darkness or you have light. You don't have both. In fact, the very definition of darkness is what? The absence of light. You can't have them both. It's an either-or situation. Now, you can have a little bit of light or a little bit of darkness, but there's either light there or light's not there at all. Darkness and light. You have one or the other. Light dispels the darkness. Light chases the darkness away. Now look what Paul says. He says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Meaning, you were at some time in your life darkness. You were formerly darkness. That's what you used to be. I think the vital word in that sentence is the word were. Aren't you thankful for that word? "For ye were sometimes darkness." Notice two things about that sentence. First of all, I want you to notice the tense. The tense of the word were is a past tense. That's the tense that's given. That simply means that word were, "for ye were sometimes darkness," that word were is in a tense that indicates a condition that no longer exists. You were formerly in darkness, but not anymore. That's the idea of that word. You were formerly darkness, but that is done. It is finished. You're not there anymore. Paul said earlier, if you go back, we won't look at it right now, but in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "For ye were dead in our trespasses and sins." That's what we were. He says that we formerly used to walk according to the course of this world. He said, you used to live in the lust of your flesh. That's what you were. But that's in the past. Not anymore. You were sometimes darkness. But notice also the word were is not modified by a pronoun as it normally would be. In other words, he didn't say you were in darkness. Paul doesn't say you were of the darkness. But rather he simply says this, you were darkness. And that's a big difference. Before Christ, our total existence, our total being, our behavior was characterized by darkness. There was no light in us. We were complete, total darkness before Christ. Children of darkness. We wanted nothing to do with the light. Well, look what Paul says next. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Just like the word were, those two things are true of the word are. Where were was in the past tense, are, can you guess what tense it's in? It's in the present tense, indicating our spiritual condition right now, contrasted to what we were before salvation. Paul says, this is what you are right now. You were formerly darkness, but right now you are light in the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Just like the verb were, the word are is also not modified by a pronoun. Paul isn't saying you are in light or you are of the light, but rather ye are light. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. We were children of darkness, but now we are children of light. Therefore, Paul says, walk as children of light. You were darkness. Now you are light. So walk like it. Don't become darkness again. Don't walk that way. Don't walk the way that you used to. Walk differently now that you are light. You were darkness. Now you're light. So walk like it. Live your light, your life like it. The command, but secondly, I want you to see the characteristics of walking in light. The characteristics in verse 9 through 13. Paul says this in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Paul gives us here three characteristics of light or walking in light. First of all, in verse number 9, Paul tells us that light produces fruit. Light produces fruit. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What does it look like to walk as children of light? Paul just gave us the command. He says, you were in darkness, but now you're a light. Walk as children of light. Well, what does that look like? Well, he tells us here that it looks like the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it looks like to walk in light. Walking in light produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And then he gives us three characteristics of what that Spirit, of what the Spirit produces in us. And by the way, he continues on throughout the rest of the chapter talking about what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. But he gives us these three characteristics: goodness, righteousness, and truth. These characteristics, goodness, righteousness and truth are evidences, are true test of faith, of saving faith, of a true saving relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, often I find so many times we look to the wrong things as tests of Christianity. We look to things like a decision that was made, or church membership, but that's the true test of Christianity. Or faithful attendance to church, or being baptized, or financial giving to the local church. And we look at those things and say, now those things are evidences of salvation. And don't get me wrong, those are all good things. And those will come out of a life that has truly been regenerated. But those are not evidences of my salvation necessarily. I say that because of this. Any person, a believer or unbeliever, can be faithful to church. Any person, a believer or unbeliever, can give their tithes and offerings to a church. Or even be baptized and join the church. Those are things that can be done in the flesh and by the flesh. But goodness, righteousness, truth, those are things that we can't fake. Those are things that are produced in us by the Spirit that are evidences of our salvation. So the question ought not to be, do you go to church? Have you been baptized? Are you financially and faithfully giving? But the question is this, is the Holy Spirit producing fruit in your life? Is the Holy Spirit producing righteousness and goodness and truth in your life? That is something that cannot be faked. That is the evidence of real Christianity. What is the Spirit doing? Goodness has the idea of moral excellence. Doing and being good. It kind of has the idea of agape love, in that this kind of goodness finds its fullest and its highest expression in that which is done willingly and sacrificially for others. That's the kind of goodness that it's talking about here. You know, mankind, we know this in his nature. Against what the world will tell you, mankind is not in his nature good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This kind of goodness is not in our nature. This goodness is produced in us by the Spirit. Righteousness. This has to do with our relationship with God. Living in a way that is acceptable to God, which, by the way, we cannot do apart from the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. The only way that we can present ourselves as human instruments of righteousness to God is through the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Christ has given us his righteous nature. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's something only the Spirit can do. And then truth, honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, integrity. And so really, when you look at these three words together, goodness pertains to our relationship with others. Righteousness pertains to our relationship with God, and truth to our personal integrity. That's what walking as the children of light produces in our lives. Let me say this morning, without that fruit, there is no evidence of the life of God. If a person says, I am a Christian, but does not evidence any of those fruits in their life, you must wonder about the truth of that statement. See, the truth is there is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. This is what the Spirit produces in the believer. Light produces fruit. Then secondly, Paul says, light reveals God in verse number 10. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Light reveals God. This is what I mean by that. When we walk as children of light, we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, we live in a way that is pleasing to God. As God reveals light into our lives by our character and our conduct, we bring God's light into a dark world. So we, as God's lights, we help other people find their way to Christ. That's what it means. The light that God produces in us, the little light that we have, points to the light, the light of God, and helps others find their way to Him. That's why Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Your job, your duty, is to point others to Christ. And the only way we can do that is by shining the light of God into their lives. See, the mind, we understand this, the mind of the unbeliever is blinded by Satan. Think of it this way. I was thinking how I could illustrate this. Imagine someone is in a dark cave. I don't like going in caves because I'm fairly claustrophobic. By fairly, I mean very much so. But imagine someone is in a dark, cold cave and they cannot find their way outside. It's a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. But down in that dark cave, they're lost and they don't even know the sun is shining. They don't know what time it is. They don't know what day it is. They're lost down there. They can't see any light. The sun is shining, but he can't see it. He can't perceive it. He can't feel it. He can't find it. Now imagine I have a little flashlight with me, and I decide I'm going to go rescue this person out of the cave. And I go in, and I make my way through that cave, and I find that man lost in that cave. Now my little flashlight is not enough to light up the whole cave. It's not enough to brighten everything so that it's like day in that cave. It's just a little light that shows me just a little bit at a time wherever I point it. It's not enough to light everything up, but it is enough to lead the man to the entrance. Right? It's enough light to take him outside where when we finally get outside, you can't even see my light anymore because the sun is so bright. I used my little light to guide the man to the ultimate light outside. You see, that's our responsibility, is using our little light to guide men to the light of the world. Light reveals God. Light also exposes darkness. We find that in verse 11 through 13. I won't read it again. We just did. But think of this. When I shine my flashlight, we'll continue that illustration. When I shine my flashlight in that cave, it reveals a lot about that cave. Right? It shows me where I ought to step so I don't stumble and fall. I remember when we were in St. Lucia, there was a place, Pigeon Island, where there was an old fort that was built in way back in the 1800s. And we went up there, and there was some stairs that you could go down. I guess this is probably where they kept their ammunition to keep it out of the rain and away from all of that. And there was like a little, not really a cave, but it was a very small dark room that you climb down these stairs and you go into that room. Of course, none of us would go into that room at first because it was very dark. So I took out, you don't even have to carry a flashlight anymore. Anytime you have a cell phone with you, you just hit that little light button. So I took it out and I shone it in that room. And guess what happened? A lot of scurrying, a lot of little, why? Because the room had a lot of cockroaches in there, and as soon as you revealed the light in the room, you could see all the cockroaches that were in the room. My light exposed what was in the darkness, and guess what? They didn't like it. They did not like the light. It exposed what was in there, and what was hidden was now not hidden anymore. It was revealed by the light, and it didn't like the light. And Paul says two things here in regard to darkness. He says, first of all, have no fellowship with it. In verse 11, he says, don't partake. Don't participate in the same unfruitful works of darkness. Remember, light produces fruit. He says, don't partake in the unfruitful works of darkness. Be in the world, but not of the world, or with the world. Don't identify with the wickedness of the world and let it take hold of your life. Don't give Satan a foothold. Don't participate in the wickedness of the world and compromise your relationship with Christ. He says, don't participate in it. Have no part with it. Not only does he say, have no fellowship with it, but he goes on to say, rather, reprove it. Reprove it. The word reprove there has the idea of convicting, of admonishing, of rebuking. Not only should we avoid the wickedness of the world, but we ought to expose it. John MacArthur says this, to ignore evil is to encourage it. To keep quiet about it is to help promote it. Now listen, I'm not saying that we need to take it on ourselves to fight every sin. That's not our purpose. But we need to expose it in whatever legitimate biblical way that is necessary. Reprove it. Let me say it this way. Love that does not openly expose and oppose sin is not biblical love. Think of Jesus. Jesus loved sinners. In fact, that's what he was often, the Pharisees would condemn him with. He's eating with publicans and sinners. How dare you? Love those sinners. I think of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus didn't condemn her. Remember what he said? Let those that are without sin cast the first stone. But listen, he didn't leave her in her sin anymore either. He lovingly exposed it and he said, go and sin no more. I think of the woman at the well, the rich young ruler, over and over again. Jesus loved the sinner, but he lovingly at the same time and patiently exposed their sin. He had to deal with it. By the way, that's exactly why the religious leaders of the day hated him. Because he focused the light on their sin, on their wicked deeds, and they hate it. John 15:22 says this, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, Jesus said, I shone the light on them, and they can't hide it anymore. It's exposed, it's open, and they hated him for it. They couldn't hide it. They thought they were doing okay. But Jesus exposed them for who they were, and they hated him for it. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Light reveals the true character of things. You know, that explains why the unbeliever tries to stay clear of church and the Bible, why they don't enjoy it here often. Because the light is revealing and exposing the darkness. And men like darkness rather than light. God's word reveals the truth of our hearts. And often, it's not very pretty. But notice also, finally, the calling to the light in verse number 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, many commentators that I read believe that this verse was actually a hymn that was sung by the early church as kind of like an invitation. You know, often we'll have an invitation hymn or song at the end of the service. And this, the commentators believe, was one of those invitation songs that was sung to the unbelievers that may have been in the congregation. It comes from Isaiah 60, verse 1, that says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Awake, thou that sleepest. Wake up. Arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. You're here this morning and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Paul is saying to you, wake up. Wake up, walk in the light of salvation. If you are in the darkness of sin, then wake up and come to the light. Christ will give you light. That's the good news, that God has provided the remedy for every sinful person that will come to him through Jesus Christ. The Savior of mankind, come to the light. Don't walk around in that cave anymore in the darkness, but come to the light. Find the light of the Lord. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 say this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Come to the light. To the believer, let me say to you this morning, wake up. Wake up. The believer has no business in the darkness. He is a saint, which means he is a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. So my encouragement to you this morning is simply this, walk as children of light. You were in darkness, but you're not there anymore. You are children of light, so walk as children of light. Don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. But allow the Spirit to produce in your life the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Walk in light. Walk as children of light. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement this morning. Lord, I thank you for everything that we have and everything that we are in Christ. Lord, I thank you for those of us here this morning that know you as our Savior, that we are not darkness anymore. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into light, that we are light. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk as children of light. Help us remember the words of Jesus when he said, ye are the light of the world, and help us to walk that way and live that way. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would produce in us the fruit of light, of goodness and righteousness and truth. Lord, those are things that we can't manufacture on our own. We can't do it by our own strength, by our own spirit. Lord, I pray that you would work those things in our life, that we would be able to walk as children of light. Help us even this week to point the light that we have to the light of the world. Lord, that we would even this week introduce someone to Jesus. That we would bring those that are stumbling in darkness to the light, that you might work in them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to wake up and see the need to be lights in this dark world. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, it is possible to be in church every Sunday, to sing the songs, to do all of these things, and still not know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I thank you that you will have mercy, that you will abundantly pardon. Lord, I pray you continue to work in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.